I know normally this Sunday morning share is business and halacha, and it will relate to that, but just based on this past Shabbos, I decided to expand the topic a little bit more, not so much about business halacha, but I'll share with you what I want to really talk about. The scheduled topic was supposed to be intellectual property, and we're going to touch upon intellectual property a little bit. Intellectual property is a big sugya, how halacha views intellectual property. You know, normally when you talk about stealing, it's talking about actual property, actual mamashas, that which is tangible. Ideas is not tangible. So there's a question whether or not there's such a thing as gzela and nezek when it comes to intellectual property. Now, when they talk about intellectual property in the poskim, as we'll see, they talk about when a person has mechadish divrei Torah, he writes a sefer, whether a person's allowed to copy that or not, whether he has rights, does he own the Torah that he wrote, the tapes can't be copied, the svarim can't be copied. So that was the topic I planned to speak about. But then over Shabbos, and I started looking ahead to the Daf Yomi. Today's Daf Yomi, those who saw it, those who didn't yet see it, you'll see. It talks about the concept of Sifrei Torah, writing one's own Sefer. I'll discuss that in just a moment. That combined with the fact that this week, Rosh Chodesh Shvat, there's a big Indian to write Svarim as well, as we'll see. And then I happened to have started writing a Sefer myself, and I got the first edit of one of my Amarim this past Thursday. And so all these things coming together, I felt just very, to me, connected to talking about writing Svarim. All these different concepts coming together. So let's go through the idea of writing a Sefer and how that connects to various areas of halacha. So let's start with today's daf. Today's daf is daf nun. If you look at number one, the Gemara tells us, darshaning psukim in Zechariah, how the world that we live in, Olam Hazeh, is very different than the world of Olam Haba. And the famous Gemara tells us, Ki hadr of Yosef braid Rabbi Yeshu ben Levi, chalash v'isnagid. If Yosef, who was one of the sons of Rabbi Yeshu ben Levi, he got very ill, and he almost died. He was in a coma or some very deep state, close to death. Ki hadr, when he came back to life, Amar le'avua, his father, Rabbi Yeshu ben Levi, says or asks his son, Rabbi Yosef, Amar le'avua, my chazisa, what did you see? What was the world that you were looking at? So Amar Leh, he says, Olam Hafach Harisi. Everyone knows this statement. Olam Hafach, a backwards or upside down world. El Yonim Lamata V'Tachtonim Lamala. Those that were highly regarded in this world were, you know, low down in the world to come. And those who were very lowly in this world, humble, were very highly regarded in the world to come. So Amar Lo Bini, so Rabbi Shimon Levi says to his son, my dear son, Olam Barab Risa. You saw the world of clarity, the world of Emes. Now he wanted to know, so where do we stand in that world of Olam HaEmes? Just like we are in this world, which I assume meant they were highly regarded, highly respected, we are also very highly respected in the world to come. I heard that they were saying the following statement, Ashrei mi sheba lekan v'tamud biyado. Praiseworthy is he who comes to this world and his Talmud's in his hand. So this is, of course, a famous story, a well-known statement. There's a song about it. The truth is, a year ago or so, the Sima Shas, someone from the shul reached out to me that she wanted to buy for her husband a gift for finishing Shas, making Sima Shas and Daf Yomi. So she asked for a particular phrase that she could get framed that could be used. So I suggested, Ashrei mi sheba lekan v'tamud biyado. And she used that. Mikey's very familiar with that that picture, not him, but his brother. Fine. So the Marsha writes on this Gemara, Talmud Biyado. It's very strange that the Talmud Biyado, we're going to go in the world to come holding a Talmud in our hand. So the Marsha comments in number two here, the Gemara in Bav Basra uses the same statement, Ashrei mi sheba lekan. He says, Yesh lefarish ki ikar al limud v'shenaseh baroshem. What is the ikar limud, the primary limud of a person that's going to have the greatest impact, an everlasting impact that will leave a roshem, a mark. Halimud haba miksivas yad. When a person writes his ksivas yad, his handwriting, ashal kei nikru hachacham sofrim. The chacham are called sofrim because they write. They write. They were always writing their stuff. There's a ma'aser of Rav Yosef Engel. There's a certain individual who was passing through the city of Rav Yosef Engel. He wanted to see the tzaddik. Rav Yosef Engel, he came to the house and knocked on the door. His wife said he was sleeping now. So it was a strange question. So the visitor asked his wife, could he see how he sleeps? Okay. So his wife said, sure. So she opened up the door, and the individual said that Rav Yosef Engel was sleeping, but his hand was going like this. He was always writing. There's so many. We lost so many svarim of Rav Yosef Engel, but he was busy. He was so accustomed to writing like this, always writing ksivas yad. That's why they're called sofrim. Around a year ago as well, I was in Chicago for Shabbos speaking, and Rav Asher Weiss was there as well, so I got to meet with him Erev Shabbos, and he was busy writing, and he told me his greatest hanan in this world is when he finishes a whole pen. A whole pen, he uses all the ink up so he could write. He loves to write, he just writes svarim upon svarim. So that's his ksivas yad, that's why Chacham are called sofrim. So that's what it means, Misha Balakan v'tamud b'yadu, his sefer is in his hand, his own personal sefer that he wrote. So the Shevet Musar writes in Perek Chav Beis, number 3 here. I'm reading just the bold now. Kol chiddush sheyichadesh adam b'torah. Every chiddush a person is mechadesh in Torah. Afilu chiddush katan. Even a small chiddush. La losa kirega al sefer b'dio. Just to write a little chiddush down on a sefer, ink. Leman yamod yomim rabim shlo yishkacheyu. So that a person, it should stand forever, everlasting, for many, many days, many, many years, so it shouldn't be forgotten. Quotes from the Sefer Chassidim, Sha'adam She'eno Kosev Chidushav, Batara, a person who does not write, does not record his Chidushim, Bavur Shu Katan Be'enav, because who am I? I'm a little nothing. Rav Asher Weiss writes a Sefer, Great Gedolim writes a Sefer, who am I to write a Sefer? I don't want to embarrass him, but Jeff also is in the midst, I hope it's not publicizing that, which he doesn't want publicized, but he's in the midst of writing a Sefer, it's almost complete. So Jeff and I, like, who are we compared to like the great rabbis? But we're both trying to write Svarim because the Sefer Chassidim says that Bavur Shu Katan Be'enav, who am I to write a Sefer? Asid Laseis Din V'cheshbon Azeh. If that's your response because you think you're so little, then you're in the future you're going to have to answer to why you didn't write a Sefer just because you thought you were nothing. And he goes on to say further than Shevet Musar, reading further down in the bowl, V'zeh Gam Kein. Kavanas Hatana, the mission in Pirkei Avos, tells us, a person who forgets one item that he learned, ki'ilu mischayv ben asha. It's a chayv misa for forgetting something he learned. That itself is hard to comprehend. But he says, ha'kavana, ko shocheach davar echad mi mishnasa daik. What do you mean mishnasa, his mishnah? It should say, ko shocheach davar mi mishnah. Ko shocheach davar mi Torah. What do you mean mishnasa, his mishnah? So it says the Shevet Musar, I think it's based on the Shla, Shu Mishnaso Shechidash, his own Chidushim, his own Mishnah that he's Mechadish, that's what he's liable if he forgets. So Keita Lo Yishkach, how do I know? How do I remember? A guy over Shabbos can be Mechadish many things. He doesn't remember all his Chidushim, so how do you expect the guy, how do you not forget it? Very simple. Yichtov Oso Al Sefer, write it down in a Sefer, Shekozman Sheyishkach, whenever you forget, I said something Parsha Shmos, you open up your sefer, you find it there. It's written down. It's the roshem. That's your tamud debiyata. So that you don't want to forget. If you remember something, if mechade something, write it down, and then you're not chayv misa. V'yesh toelas gadol michidush afilu katan lekashimo eze inim. A person has a certain is a benefit to the person to the neshama when he writes a chidush down. His neshama somehow connects to it in a very deep level. Or helps you understand things in a much deeper way. I know when I was in Yus Kol Elyon, so over the course of that time, I gave a total of 5 chaburas. 5 chaburas. Now, when you're giving chabura to other guys and to Rosenzweig and to Willig sometimes, you're going to prepare really hard. And you're going to write it up. I'm not going to forget the topics, and most of what I said I remember as well. When you work really hard on something, it gets ingrained in your mind, and your neshama gets very, very connected to it on a very high level. That's what the Shevet Musar says. So he's trying to really encourage all types of people, regardless of their, you know, level, age, background, to write even a chiddush katan. If you haven't seen it before, to you it's a chiddush. Now they talk about, you know, sometimes a person says, you know, he's mechadish, and the Rebbe says, you're mechavin to the kasher Rabbi Kiv Eger. So guys get so proud, I felt like Rabbi Kiv Eger. So they understand, once Rabbi Kiv Eger was, you know, mechadish something he brought into the world, so it's more accessible to you and I. We're not being mechadish like Rabbi Kiv Eger. So yeah, in a chanam, if you've never saw it before, it's a chiddush, you're mechav into it, it's worthwhile. Now, maybe it's been written other places, but you do the best you can. That's even a davar katan. So now, the Tzitz Eliezer. Yeah, writing down in general helps you remember. It helps put into your own svarim. But, you know, you shouldn't. It's not worthwhile to publish, I don't think, unless it's chidushim. But nowadays, Wamre said to me in the past, most svarim nowadays are not being mechadish much. It's really being malakit, collecting things together, organizing things. He quoted me from the Chazon Ish that says, now it's not about, not really in b'torah, it's really chipus b'torah. You're just searching for that which already exists, connecting things together. Not that many chidushim. So most svarim nowadays are alikutim. But in Echanami, there are many that have chidushim as well. But whether it's worthwhile to publish or not, that you could take up with a rav or whoever knows these things, the editor, the publisher. But either way, there's a big need to write down one's chidushim. So the Tzitz Eliezer, number four here, he quotes from the Medrash Talpios, and he says, Kol ha-mechadesh chidushim b'torah, reading the bold again, Nafsho simcha la b'yoser me'alomid b'lo chidush. When you write something or you learn something with chidushim, the simcha that you feel is greater than when you learn without b'mechadesh. Like, that's one thing to learn b'kiyas. It's a geshmak a guy gets when he finishes a masechta, he makes a seam. But when you sit down and you ask questions and you give answers and you start connecting things, in chidushim, that simcha is an even higher level than without chidushim. V'nimtza, shechidushim b'torah gormim simcha gedola l'neshama shichelak elo kamimal. This is again the Tzitz Eliezer. He's writing in the Shelos and Tshuvos that when a person mechadish something, it connects to the neshama to such a high place. And l'chein bocher harotzei Hakadosh Baruch Hu b'mish mechadish chidushim b'torah. That's what Hakadosh Baruch Hu wants, people to mechadish chidushim b'torah. That's the point here. So now this is going to drive into the point. Now, do you own your Torah? Right, you're mechadish something. Okay, let's say you haven't seen it anywhere else. You did the research. It's your chidush. You created the chidush. Do you have ownership now? From a choshev mishpat perspective, is this your Torah? So the Gemara in the Nedarim tells us daf lamed hey that Amar Rabbi Yochanan b'tchila Haya Moshe lama Torah u'mishkacha. Nishi, when Moshe Benu learned, he forgot. We forget. Moshe Benu was no different. He learned and he forgot. Ad shenit lo b'matan, until it was given to him as a gift. The Kadosh Baruch Hu granted him this matana that he shouldn't forget. Vayitena Moshe kekalasu l'daber ito. So it became his. It became his Torah. Nitna lo b'matan, it's a gift that when you're given a gift, it's given to you to own. And further, it says in Gemara in Avodah Zarah daf yutes, Amar Rava, number 6. B'tchila nikreis al shemo she Kadosh Baruch Hu. Initially, Torah was called on Hashem's name. Ulvasof, in the end, nikreis al shemo. It's called on your name. That you become the owner of the Torah that you learn. Shenemar b'Torah Hashem chefto v'saroso, his Torah, yega yomam v'layla. So it's initially called Hashem's Torah, b'Torah Hashem, but then it's called Taraso, his, the one who learns it. So you actually acquire the Torah. And more so when you're mechadish, when you make new chidushim, that becomes yours. And Gemara says further, just along the same lines, that you have ownership of the Torah. Gemara says in Erev and Daf Nundal, number 7, it says, we'll read just the bold, Amar Le, Im Adam Meisim Atmo Kimidbar, Shakol Dashim Bo. Person is very, very humble when he learns. We know Nivas is really the key to success in learning. So he makes himself a doormat, a desert, everybody just tramples all over him. Then he zochet Torah nitna lo b'matana. Torah is given to him as a gift. V'kevan shenitna lo b'matana nachalu keil. Becomes a nachla, becomes a yerusha. It's a gift and an inheritance that he takes and he can pass on to his children. And we'll do, so what does that mean? So it becomes your Torah. It's your Torah that you're mechadish. So there are two very, very important nafkaminas that you own your Torah. One is you can be mochel on your kavod. Let's say a guy becomes a rav, a big Talmud Chacham. You have to respect him. You have to respect the Talmud Chacham. You have to do whatever you need to do to show respect him. But let's say he wants to be mochel. So there's a din. If a king wants to be mochel, we don't let him be mochel. He can't. He's not allowed to be mochel in his kavod. The Gemara says, Melech shemochel kvodo, ein kvodo mochel. It says in the pasuk, Som tasim alecha melech, that you have to give him simos. You have to continue to show honor to a king. Even though he's a mochel, you can't listen. But if a Talmud Chacham wants to be mochel, he's not allowed to be mochel. What's the difference? So the Gemara says, number 8, Kedushin Dach Lamed Beis. Gemara says, at first of Yosef Amar, Afilu, even a person, harav, Afilu Rav Shemachal Kavodah, Kavodah Machal. If a Rav, a Kavod HaRav, his Mochel, it's granted to him. Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, Vashem Holech Lefneim V'Yomim. Hashem walked in front of us. Hashem was mocha on his own cover by leading us through the Midbar. So Amar Rava, Rava says, Hachiyashta now, Hasam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Alma Dilei Hu V'Tor Dileihi, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu owns the world and he owns the Torah, yet Machalei Likare, he was mocha on his kavod. Hacha here by the Tamna Chacham, by the Rav. Torah Dileihu, the Torah is his. So therefore, if the Torah is his, he's allowed to be mocha on his kavod. I mean, what made the Chacham, what made the Rav a big deserving of kavod? Because he learned Torah. He's Mechadish Torah. It's his. He owns it. He can be mocha on it. The king's kavod isn't his kavod. The king's kavod is the nation's kavod. He doesn't have the right to be mocha on the nation's kavod. The president of the United States can be mocha on the kavod of the United States of America, maybe any other. But for a Rav, to be mocha on his kavod, he's allowed to because it's his own kavod. He earned it. It's his Torah. So he's allowed to be mocha on his kavod. He earned that ownership. So what happens to the chidushim? What happens to the svarim that he writes? Does he own that as well? Is he allowed to prevent the person from learning his Torah? Is he allowed to destroy his Torah? Is he allowed to prevent people from taking his Torah away? How much ownership does he actually have? So Netziv writes in Meshev Davar, this is number 9 now, Meshev Davar, Chelek Aleph Simen Chavdal. He brings all the sources I just brought from the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, the Gemara Erevin, that Torah is acquired by a person. But he says, in the end of the day, look at the last two lines, of Al-Achar Iyin Enokin. He doesn't think that, he initially had suggested, that the Chacham owns his Torah, and he could destroy his Torah if he wanted. I could buy a house, I could destroy the house. I could buy a car, destroy the house. So he said, maybe a person owns his Torah, and he could destroy his Torah if he wants, so no one should get his Torah. But the Meshev Davar, the Netziv writes, Eino Nikre Shalo, it's only called his Torah, as far as litnam l'mishirta, that he has the right to give it to whom he wants, to a Talmud, to a child, whatever he wants, he could give it away. He can't destroy it. He can't prevent people from learning it. He's a mitzvah to learn and also to teach. Not to keep it to himself. So you have an obligation to teach, obligation to spread the Torah, to write svarim, to give shiur. But you have ownership. You could say, I want it to go on to my child, that he publishes it, that he has the rights to give it out how he feels the need. So he's walking a fine line here that there's ownership to it, but ownership so much as far as where he is able to control it, but he can't get rid of it. He can't destroy it. He can't prevent people from learning. But we see that there's real ownership to a person's learning. It's tamud biyado. It's mamash in his hand, that he has the right to pass it on. So when it comes to intellectual property, now it's a big, big topic. I'm not at all capable of discussing this topic in a larger sense by any means. How it affects people taking ideas in business, apps and whatever else people steal intellectual property from. We're going to focus just very, very, again, superficially on Torah. But the four basic items that one has to weigh, we discussed many of them in the past few weeks. Number one is their gzela. A person takes my Torah. A person takes my idea. Is there gzela? Number two is there nezik? Is that called damage? She's preventing me from making more money. Like it was, I had full ownership, exclusive rights to it. Now he took it. Now he's stealing. He's damaging my ability to profit more. We have to go into the world of Dina de Malchus Adina. If there's certain rules in the United States of America or wherever you live, there are certain rules that you have to follow. And the fourth factor is minhag. Right? There's certain industry practices. So even though maybe it's not a written or a rule, but we know that people don't steal ideas. So these are four factors that are all weighed in, and I'm not getting to each one in a very heavy way, but these are the factors that one does have to weigh. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva. If you look at number 10, Rav Moshe has a tshuva about someone copying from a tape. He says, Misha ose tape, midivrei Torah, v'ose lahatiko bedavar echad, she'ose tape, midivrei Torah. He says, you're not allowed to copy my tape, my CD. V'kosef she'ose lahasose mitape shelo, oh tape, you're not allowed to, vade aser. That certainly is a violation to copy a tape, and I'd add, copy a sefer, if it clearly says, explicitly says, you can't copy. Ki hu inyan shava kesef, there's value to the tape, there's value to the sefer, v'asa tape larviach mizeh, he wanted to make the tape to make money off it, Shachem yirtu yistarchu yisalashamlo to pay him for this. So for you to take my tape and copy it, for you to take my sefer and copy it, you're taking holding money back from me. So I know there's a big discussion in postgame. Let's say you have downloaded a song. Downloads might work differently now. I think you have to pay for all the downloads, but so let's say you download on iTunes for yourself. Now, do you have to buy a separate one, a download for each of your children? Or is that considered stealing? So Rav Schechter, I recall him saying a number of years ago, the whole idea of intellectual property depends on a loss of money for the owner. So no one ever buys a CD that there are 10 CDs for the family, that the mother, the father gets one, each of the children get their separate CD. It doesn't work that way. You buy one for the family. So now just by making other downloads for the family is not causing a loss. You wouldn't have paid for it anyways. And therefore, making copies within the family would be allowed. But the moment you start, making copies for your neighbors that they would have bought otherwise, so that already would be a problem. So if it's causing a potential gain, a loss of gain for the owner, that would be a problem. But if it doesn't cause any loss, he wouldn't have paid for it anyways, that he felt wouldn't be a problem of stealing intellectual property. Now, let's say, I say, listen, guys, we're doing a shiur right now, and I don't want anybody talking about what we're discussing outside the shiur. Taking notes, no talking about this. This is very private. Don't share with anybody else. Is there a problem with that? Now, I don't plan on selling my shiur. I don't plan on making money off of that. Is there a problem of a guy to say this, I heard the shiur on Sunday morning in Ish Kodesh, and this is what we said. Is that a problem? So Moshe writes further on, he says, that's not a problem of stealing property, because there's no mamashas, there's no tape, there's no CD, there's no sefer. But we had an agreement here. I said, this, you're coming to my shiur on condition that you don't share what I share in this shiur to anybody else. And that would be being mavir and daita. That would be going against an agreement. If we have a deal in business, I said, listen, this is what we're going to have. We didn't sign any contract. There's no mamashas. There's nothing tangible. But I said, listen, this is in the verbal agreement we're having. So, and you agree, so then that has to be that way. So if you come to my shiur on condition that you're not going to share the Torahs I'm sharing, then you have to listen. Not because it's stealing, because that was the agreement. If I didn't say that, I didn't say you have to listen to this agreement, so then you'd be able to go ahead and take it. Because for Moshe, the element is stealing money. Taking a person's gains. If there's nothing to be lost because I'm not gaining money, I'm not selling my shiurim, then you can't even discuss this at all. Now, Lamaisa, I guess I said, there's a lot to discuss in the postgame about this topic. The Minchas Yitzchak has a whole long list of many, many svarim in their Hakdama where they say it's usher to copy this, usher to steal from this. And there's a machlokas in the postgame, but at the end of the day, the Minchas Yitzchak writes, if you look just on page number 3, the end of number 11, just drawing out two bold lines there. He says, even though it's a machlok, he says, aval kama gedolei poskim, many of the great poskim, svir le lepshitas de yachol le'esor, that it certainly is aser, niskabel daitim lehalacha lemaisa. This is the accepted practice. Accepted practice is you cannot steal a person's Torahs, you cannot steal a person's svarim. And he goes on to say further, a person works really hard. Ask Jeff. Jeff is always editing his svarim. I just looked at one mimer, I'm going back and forth with the editor about it. There's a lot that goes in. And you worked really hard to have a beautiful sefer that people could understand, and then the guy just rips it off. So he feels that that is considered acquiring something. And therefore, the accepted practice is you're not allowed to steal from the svarim, from the person's Torahs. That being said, the Minchas Yitzchak does have a very important point, which I think hashkafically, from a person who's a mechaber svarim, to have this in mind. He quotes from the Chavetz Chaim, and he says, everybody who has my svarim, the Bishop Berurah, the Chavetz Chaim, all the Shmir Salashim, feel free to take it as you want. Feel free. It's all yours. The perspective of a person, I'm not telling what a person should do. People need parnasa. But a person has a certain koach, let's say, or a person that has an ability to teach and to write and to share. The real perspective should be to teach, not to make money. Most people who sell svarim don't make money off it anyways. Sometimes people have bills to pay, of course. But it seems that there should be a certain perspective. This was the Chavetz Chaim's perspective, that a person tried to share Torah as much as he can. Not to make money off of it per se, and to give it out, not to lose money per se, but the perspective is to share. That's what Chavetz Chaim seemed to have stressed in the Hakdama. That being said, a person has a right to hold on, and many great Gdolim, Chassam Sofer among them, said one has a right to have control of his Torah, of his Svarim, to make sure that his family gets the Parnasa that comes through those Svarim. Now what happens if we're assuming that a person is not allowed to copy from other Svarim? Does that mean, I went ahead and I went to Bar Ilan, I made some copies, I made a copy of a, I don't know, Shulchan Aruch, of a Gemara. Is that against halacha to do that? So if you look at number 12, Rav Vazna writes very clearly. Rav Vazna writes, reading the bold again, his mikomakom, lachzer lahadbis maimer boded, to copy an individual marmakom, mikol shekein, kenidon didon, our case, where you're trying to give a shir and make some copies for people, shein matfis klal hafitzu berabim, you're not going to be able to, you're not selling it to the public. Lebein talmide beis sefer. You're giving it to the Talmudim. Shekashlem liknos kam of a kamasvarm. But now everyone has to buy a Minchas Yitzchak here now, and a Shevet Levi, and everyone needs to buy a Shevet Musar and a Tzitz Eliezer because we're doing that. So yeah, all have to spend now a few $100 just to come to a shir to get one in Mar Makom. So that would be a bit extreme. And he says, Imkein Mekia Gavna Adrabi things. In this case, we're just making a copy here, a copy there. Yesh Bedavar Lahakel Halimud. It makes it easier to learn. Lifnei Zera Kodesh, v'lo yetzuichem lahotzi kesef b'chinam, to take out money just for a few lines here or there, olil mod bal peh. So he says, therefore, it's not a problem to make individual copies of pages or mar makom. So that's pretty accepted. For me personally, if I find the mar makom in a sefer, I feel the need, I want to buy the whole sefer. Number one is, maybe there's more good stuff there. Number two is, I use this stuff, so I may as well get a parnasa for the guy who wrote it, the mechaber, whoever is publishing it, to show olil hakar satov. My wife might not be so happy with that I buy every sefer that I find the Mar Makom on, but I think it's a good way to show a Karsa Tov, and it avoids any concern of copying things, but there is no issue of copying. But you see from all this, the fact that they discuss this topic, there is ownership. When a person is Mechadesh Torah, when a person writes a sefer, there's real ownership, as far as his ability to be mochel in his kavod, as far as the ability to have rights to hold on and control of his sefer. And that's what it means, Tamud Biyada. So that's why this topic meant a lot to me this week, because again, I'm in the parsha now of writing Sfarim, but it was even nicer when I saw over Shabbos this big inyan when it comes to Rosh Chodesh Shvat this coming week. This big connection to writing Sfarim and Rosh Chodesh Shvat. So take a look at the last page here, number 13, the Ohev Yisrael. There's very, very little written about the significance of Tu B'Shvat. It's a big day. It's a big day by the Hasidim, but very little written about what the idea is. The Minhagim that date back centuries, that they used to have these big seders, like a Tu B'Shvat seder. It existed. It's brought down by the Sfarim. And so what's the idea of having fruit and celebrating the trees? So from a perspective of halacha, that was just the separation of ma'aser. You can't take ma'aser from one year to the next year. Halachas of Arla, having to do with agriculture. But obviously there's something much deeper to just the fruit that are growing in the farms. So what's the deeper idea? So the Ohev Yisrael writes as follows, number 13. And this is the pasuk that they all invoke whenever we discuss the concept of a tree in Ilan and Eitz. The pasuk tells us, Ki ha'adam eitz hasadeh. A person himself is a tree. A person's a tree in the field. And as a tree grows, you have to water the tree, you have to tend to the tree. So, you know, each child, each person, each neshama is a tree that we grow, we get bigger and bigger. It has to be watered, it has to be tended to. So he explains, L'chach bir az Moshe Beinu Levashalom be'echad b'shvat, es Torah Seinu. It's known based on the Pesukim in the Torah that Moshe Beinu, he explained Kol Torah Kula, explained to all of Am Yisrael on Rosh Chodesh Shvat, Bar Heitev, the Pasuk says, in a clear way, b'shivin anpin, in 70 different ways, the shivin panim, ki amochim, this is that, you know, Kabbalistic point, the brains, ilan, kadishin, dinin, yidke nimshach, aros kadoshas, la Torah kadosha, deep places of the mind that's available, it's accessible on Rosh Chodesh Shvat. V'ikar hachanata shel neshamos Yisrael, the primary way that a neshama ripens, toli berov gishmei shana, depends on the rain of that season. He explains, ki b'chol shana v'shana, nischadesh chidushim d'araisa, each year, there are more chidushim in the Torah. The ha'aros, v'ashbaos, kadosha, shomros, zumizu, different lights and different ashbaos, different connections. L'fiya mitztarech l'shanahu. Each year, there are new svarim that come out, new chidushim, depending what that year needs. And that happens, Rosh Chodesh Shvat is when that all changed. Just like Moshe Beinu in the Midbar, he's Be'er Heitev, explained the Torah with clarity. Each year, Rosh Chodesh Shvat again, is another time to explain the Torah in a clearer way, in a different way, with chidushim. Ki ha'bori baruch hu, Because each day the Kadosh Baruch Hu is mechadish the world. How is he mechadish the world? How did he create the world? Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world vis-a-vis the Torah. So if each year he's mechadish the world, that means he's mechadish the Torah as well. That's how you mechadish the world. So therefore, since Rosh Chodesh Shvat is the time where Moshe Beinu explained the Torah, so that's the time where we have to explain the Torah with greater clarity, with greater depth, and that keeps the world going round and round. That's what the Ovi Yisrael says. So they bring down a Maisa from the Avnei Nezer. It's in the number 14, the last Ma'ariv Makom here. Avnei Nezer, he had said, he's the Mechaber of the Eglei Tal, the famous Eglei Tal. And Avnei Nezer said that each year, after Tu B'Shvat, he was margish a shinui b'chidush Torah shelo. There's something different about his chidushim. He felt something different. His neshama got to a higher level because the Iker Rosh Hashanah le'ilan Koi al chidush Torah. The primary celebration of Rosh Chodesh Shvat and Tu B'Shvat is about a person's own chidushim in Torah. And each year the chidushim are created in a new way. And so for this reason, I felt it was very appropriate for this week, all these things in my own life coming together, you know, combining the fusion between the Daf Yomi and Rosh Chodesh Shvat and the topic of intellectual property and my own Sefer coming to fruition, hopefully, Mitzvah Hashem. So therefore, hopefully, at least for myself, I got started. When I was talking to Rabbi Daniel Gladstein about writing Svarim and some advice, he said to me, just start. Just start. Once you start, you won't stop. So I started, and I haven't stopped since. I was talking to Rav Weinberg about this. We spoke about it a number of times already, but just yesterday he was telling me, he was bemoaning the fact that he has so many stuff he loves to write, but it's all written in his very hard-to-read Hebrew, impossible to read Hebrew. So Binyamin Wolf wrote his English stuff. His English stuff is somewhat legible for Binyamin Wolf, but his Hebrew stuff is impossible. He said he has thousands and thousands of pages that he'd love to have written up, but no one could. He's tried even with a publisher. They can't decipher what he writes. So he said he might need to take a couple-year sabbatical, I don't know, to work on this. But he has also a cheshek to do so. But it's all because Talmud B'yado. So a person should never feel that he's too katan, too small to write his chidushim. Jeff and I think we're too katan to write, but we're doing it anyways.
I think
that about myself, certainly. But nonetheless, a person should feel the opportunity to write things down, whatever it might be. And who knows, maybe a person will write it, maybe a person will not write it, maybe a person will buy it, who knows. Even just to make a couple hundred copies to give to your family and friends itself is a davar chashiv. That's your Talmud B'yada. So hopefully it's certainly been chizik for me to learn this sugi, hopefully a chizik for you as well, to think about what sugis you connect to, and to write a sefer. And I'm happy to help along the process. It's a fun process. Mirz Hashem, through this, will be Marbitz Torah, and we'll be Zocha to that day soon when the tree grows to a place where, as the Gemara said today, when the day, the times of Mashiach, the tzel of the Yushalayim is going to spread, the Metzilos, the tzel of Yushalayim is going to spread throughout as far as a horse run. So we should be Zocha that the tzel, the shade of the tree that we plant, that we grow, the swarm that we write, should spread throughout the entire world with the Gula Shem about Mitas, Mir Amen, Amen, V'Amen.
Amen.